This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Monday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And we are just going to get right to it. We have got a great show today. We're super excited to have back on the show our friend, nationally syndicated radio host, the voice you hear right before us, and a best-selling author of the new book, The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America and the Future of MAGA, Todd Starnes. How are you, Todd? It is so great to have you.
Oh, my gosh, Denise. I am. Is it fanboying? I think it is. It's so good to be back with you.
It has been way too long. Of course, fans and our listeners remember we had you out here in person in 2022, the last time we had a gubernatorial race. And so you and I chatted offline, and Christine Drazen is running again. So we're very hopeful this time that some changes will come to the beautiful state of Oregon.
Well, look, I remember that was one of the highlights of what we've been doing. It was so much fun. You guys have the best listeners, and it was, and by the way, the barbecue, my compliments to you guys out there in Oregon. I honestly wasn't quite sure what I was going to get into, you know, and being from Memphis, if it's not pig, it's not Q in our estimation, but you guys hit a home run.
Well, shout out to Adams Rib, who catered the event, Mike Adams, and it was out at his place and it was wonderful. And I know he was glad you approved, because yeah, you're a tough audience there. You know your cue.
I don't know much, but I know how to smoke a butt.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, first of all, we're here to talk about your new book, which I love. I have to tell you though, I love the cover art. I am an Art Deco geek. It's my favorite aesthetic, and I saw it's simply beautiful.
Well, our designer Joseph Huntley did a wonderful job conveying the message of the book, and it takes you right back to the Great Gatsby, the Roaring Twenties,
yep,
and this celebration of all things America. But there's also another side, a darker side to the cover, because as great as the 1920s were, the 1930s were not so great. And the book is a reminder that, yes, we celebrate, but we also remember that every generation has to fight so that America will live in this golden age of prosperity.
Hey, man, I remember, you know, New Year's Eve, when we were coming into 2020, thinking, you know, hey, we're entering the Roaring Twenties, and of course, it hasn't really turned out that way. When you say golden age, I mean, do you think we're entering one, or is this sort of just a normal shift in the political pendulum?
No, I think we really are in a golden age, and one of the things that we have a problem with in this country is short term memory, and Americans don't remember just how bad things were during the Biden years. And President Trump came in, and we were heading towards the socialist cliff. President Trump came in, as I write in The Golden Age, slams on the brakes and literally reverses course. And it's truly remarkable when you look at the number of things this president has been able to accomplish. And the challenge is that a lot of people forget. So that was the point of writing the book, was to lay out some of the most important promises the president made and explain how he delivered on those promises. And I think we're right smack in the middle of the golden age.
I think that's interesting. It's kind of like he ushered back in common sense. I do remember, and I know Hunter does too, the COVID years, but they are kind of being memory holed a little bit. So, and I'm seeing you saw a demographic shift and sort of coalition building from the Trump campaign. Do you think that's going to stick for a while?
I don't know. And that's the concern, is that, you know, we're starting to see the fractures. You know, Donald Trump was not a Republican. He used the party to get elected. So the question is, who will control the party that Donald Trump now leads? Will it be the populist? Will it be the establishment Republicans? Will it be the evangelicals? And I think we're gonna see a very big and ugly power struggle develop, really starting the day after the midterm elections, as those factions fight to be the nominee for the White House in 2028.
Yeah, I see J.D. Vance is out there. Marco Rubio, I tend to be a little partial to Marco Rubio. I like J.D. Vance. I know a lot of people have kind of shifted. It's almost like they're quietly whispering, well, I voted for Trump. And it's people that you wouldn't necessarily think would. He's kind of given them permission to kind of go down the common sense road.
Yeah, I think so. I'm with you. I'm a Marco Rubio guy. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I had rewritten the end of the book to accommodate a speech that Rubio had delivered about Western civilization. And I thought it was a terrific, really stopping point, you know, for the Golden Age. And I think Rubio has what J.D. Vance does not, which is a little bit more experience and a little bit mm-hmm. more age on him. You know, keep in mind that J.D. Vance was I think in his first term in the Senate when he was picked to be Trump's running mate. So J.D. Vance does not have that much experience. That's not taking anything away from him, mm-hmm. but it's just a reminder that we need someone that does have some heft. And I think Marco Rubio has that heft.
I think so, too. I've been really impressed with him. That one speech he gave, I forget the venue, and I'm thinking it's probably the one you were referencing. I mean, that was a barn burner. It was amazing. And he does have a lot more. He's got the gravitas, I think, that Vance just lacks just because of age. And he said some things that have been a little like, excuse me? So, you know, maybe a little bit more maturing needs to be done there.
Just a little bit. But again, yeah. You know, going back to the Golden Age, you know, yeah. it's really a celebration of what has happened in the country and also a look ahead to where we're going to go and where I think we need to go, and really showing people how they can pick up the mantle from Donald Trump. You know, again, here's a guy, he did his 4 years. He could have gone mm-hmm. and spent his in retirement years at Mar-a-Lago playing all the golf courses. He didn't do that. Instead, he nearly lost his life in 3 assassination right. attempts. And yet he is still out there fighting the good fight for all of us.
Yeah, he is. So do you think the MAGA movement, so to speak, goes on without him? I mean, what's the left going to do without Donald Trump to shake their fists at?
Well, it's a great question. I think it will go on. Well, it'll look very different, of course. Mm-hmm. I think politics is going to look a little different. Probably going to be a little bit more boring when Trump goes away. But, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, we've got still a lot to fix that is broken. And with the rise of socialism and the yeah. rise of the communist movement in America, that is something that should disturb all of us. I mean, you guys are getting a taste of that already in Oregon.
Right. Yep.
But I think
yep.
the rest of the country it's going to be a shock to the system.
It is. And, you know, you talk about these are kind of a call to arms for people reading the book. And frankly, I think the people that need to read the book probably aren't going to read it. And the people that know, because we're in the news cycle constantly, we're very aware of what's going on. Most Americans really aren't. I don't know whether they're just now starting to get an inkling of the rise of the DSA, the Democrat Socialist of America, and the real love affair these people have with communism.
Yes. And my question always ask one question whenever we yeah. have these folks call into the radio show is show yeah. me one place in the world, just one place where socialism has actually worked. And they can't do that, you know, because it's been a complete and utter failure every single time they have tried to implement socialism. I mean, if you want to look at maybe a success rate, maybe you could analyze how many people were actually killed or not killed under a socialist regime.
Well, yeah, and you probably get, or they bring up sort of Norway, Sweden, or, you know, which is a very homogenous culture, and it's very different.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a great point.
Go ahead, Hunter.
Oh, no, I'm just, it goes to all these other things where we have failed so historically at the school level in teaching how these things work, that they always come up with some grandiose idea and want to create socialism where there wasn't socialism in order to justify it.
Hunter, I think that's a great point. You know, one of the challenges, and I write about this in the book, the one thing that President Trump has not delivered on just yet is mm-hmm. abolishing the Department of Education.
Yeah.
And I really feel like if we're going to save the country, we've got to shut down the Department of Education, get control back to the local communities. ultimately, when you look at the radical ideology, whether it be, you know, communism or socialism or sex and gender, all of that is coming from the schoolhouse. They've been turned into these propaganda centers. So it's really going to be important for us to rise up and say, all right, we're not going to tolerate this. You know, we're going to put a stop to this.
Yeah. And now is really not the time to be quiet. And I get tired of, you know, the sleeping giant. It's like, time to wake up, sleeping giant. Or actually, it's way past time to wake up and to be more vocal about that. So what do you want to see people reading this book other than, you know, keyboard warriors posting on X, posting on Facebook? What can people really do? What actions would you like to see Americans take?
Well, for one thing, we've got to return back to the family unit and really restore the traditional American family. Ronald Reagan said it like this: American greatness doesn't happen in Washington. It happens around our dinner tables. And my call is for moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas to really take ownership of teaching kids what it means to be an American, what it means to be a patriot, to teach them about their rights that they have in the Bill of Rights, and really to start that education process at home. And there's also an encouragement for the churches of America to really reclaim their position in the public square and speak truth to culture and speak truth to power. So really, those are the two big things that I hope people get out of the book.
I hope so, too. Now, you have been on the circuit doing book signings, which I know are just a lot of fun for you. But you, real quick before we let you go, because I know you're trying to save your voice, too, but you had some shenanigans at your most recent one. What happened?
Oh, Lord, Denise, I was set upon by a mob of 300-pound woke white women, and I wouldn't wish that on anybody. It was brutal. They literally stormed the Barnes & Noble, shouting and cursing, and we had this huge crowd there for the book signing, and of course, everybody was in good spirits, and we really did not fear for our safety. We were pretty certain we could outrun the mob. The only true concern we had was if one of them tipped over, they might have taken out one of the small children. So we were very protective of the kids. But it was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. It's like, they don't have anything better to do. Get some more cats, ladies. Come on.
Well, exactly. And I'm sitting here, and I think this is where I picked up the whatever the illness was, with all of the screaming and the spittle and all of that. It was just... It was terrible. But anyway, isn't that how the left is, though? They want to shut down anything they disagree with. And that's what they do. But the good news is that we just kept doing what we were doing. And I guess they left. I don't know if they were trying to make it over to Bob Evans for the early bird special. But they left.
Well, the sacrifices that you make, the sacrifices. Again, this side of the book is the goal. Go ahead.
Well, and the irony is we have a chapter in the book called The Gals of Girth is what we call them, and where I offered to be their life coach to help them find husbands so they could find meaning in life.
Somehow I don't think they'd appreciate that, the gogs. I don't know.
The gogs.
The gogs. I love that. That cracks me up so bad.
I don't do it alone. I have a great team. Betty Crocker, and also my friend from across the big pond. Her name is Lady Bick.
Okay. Too funny, Todd. Always so much fun to talk to you. Again, the book is The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America and the Future of MAGA. Available everywhere books are sold. It is out there. I'm looking forward to fully reading it. And Todd, again, always a pleasure to have you. Let's not let so much time go by this time when we have you on
Absolutely,
again.
Absolutely, guys. Thank y'all so much.
All righty. Take care. All right. We're going to take our last break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Miller's Barbecue and Catering and Color Tile of Salem.
All righty. Always good to talk to Todd. His the book came out. It just came out. Yeah. I mean, it is brand spanking new. You can still... It's just freshly printed pages. So it's very, very, very good read. He always writes. I like his other, what was the one when he was here last time? It was Biscuits and Gravy for the Soul. I just kept trying to remember.
Oh, God, now I'm going to totally drop.
I know, he has the cleverest titles, and now I'm completely brain farting. My apologies, my apologies. He's a great writer, though, and he's a great guy. He's always fun to have on. And yeah, he's right, that barbecue we had with it was part of a Marion County GOP with Adam's Rib, and it was just absolutely, it was a great time. We had a really great time. He is a very, very lovely, very generous man.
No, it was an amazing afternoon of being able to chat with Todd, being able to talk to a number of other representatives and Christine Drazen and everything else. And you just wish that election that followed shortly thereafter had gone differently.
I know. You know, it's funny because on election night, I was down at the convention center and I was slated. I went up, went on to Todd's show, and it was just like, no, yeah, same. No. I was just like, I don't know if I have a very good radio guest right now. I'm really disappointed. And that was when Measure 114 squeaked over the finish line, too. It was not a good night.
Yeah, that was a rough one. And
it was.
All we can do at this point is hope and say, have we had enough of this, Oregon? Have we had enough?
Are we looking at rock bottom? Do we know what it looks like? Okay, speaking of rock bottom, ugh. I did not watch. I watched clips. hang on a sec. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm glad I have a mute button. The Andrew Wilson, Candace Owens debate was Friday morning. I have seen clips. I have not watched the whole thing. I cannot watch the whole thing. It's unwatchable to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just it's all about ego. It's all about being at the forefront and everything going on. And I just sit here and go, what does that benefit anyone to have the focal point on you two?
The only person who benefited financially was Candace Owens. She was paid $3,000 to debate about her friend, Charlie Kirk. Bottom line is no minds were changed as far as I'm concerned. Nobody really benefited. Nobody came out winning. I don't think Patrick Bet-David was a great moderator. I enjoy his podcast. I like that. Andrew Wilson has always been interesting to me. I've seen some time. He made an appearance on Trigonometry. And he's very intense and he was very interesting. And he's, you know, like a debate bro or something. And he wants to go out there and do it. I don't think he came off particularly well either. She was awful. I mean, she didn't back up anything. I just thought the whole thing was a waste of time. And Charlie Kirk is still dead. So I'm just kind of, the whole thing was like, yuck, I don't want anything to do with this.
Yeah, no, probably not worth the time.
I wouldn't watch it. Yeah,
nah. And that's the thing is. In this realm of social media and influencers and whatever else comments you want to do, we are so stuck between balancing who's actually got information with facts and things like that versus the shock jock mentality.
Yeah. And no new information. I mean, we haven't even had the trial yet. I'm not sure what the point of all this was other than to just get her to stop. But she's got this huge following out there. We haven't weighed in too much on it. And frankly, I don't really want to. I have seen her live. She was fine. And she gave, she was interesting to watch. I followed her back. I think it was Red Pill Black or original. Well, when she became a conservative. Anyway, I get a lot of agita about this. I don't like all of this that's going on. I miss Charlie Kirk. We're coming up on the 1-year anniversary. So much has changed in a year. So much has been fractured. So much has been damaged. I just find it rather depressing, the whole thing. So I wouldn't recommend watching it. There's clips out there everywhere. Everyone's got their take on it. I don't think anybody won.
No. Well, but that's the way most these debate / forums that we see are just kind of like, blah. Yeah. Did it move a dial? Unlikely. Nope. Is it worth regurgitating? Unlikely. I'm just going, it's all about them and getting their ego stroked at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I don't even know. I don't listen to the other talking heads, especially when I'm prepping. But it's just amazing. I mean, what you can get people to buy into and believe. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them, I call it their weather vanes. They just kind of shift with the wind and you just have to be careful. And which is why it's so important to do your own research.
Well, that's the big issue I have with society today is whoever can be loud enough and emotional enough projecting some, whatever message they want to send, whether it's COVID, whether it's whatever, society buys in from loud and obnoxious and emotional and I'm kind of going, but when you slow it down, you take the noise out, and you start to actually think about these things, a whole lot of it doesn't make logical sense. And we've gone away from logic and focus on emotion.
Right. Well, that's why I appreciate in Todd's book talking about where Trump kind of did usher in, you know, making common sense cool again for some people, not for everyone. I mean, but, you know, you see a lot of the hysterics and a lot of the histrionics and things happening on the left. But there's a lot of it happening on certain portions of the right as well, mm-hmm. where it's very emotion driven. And it may make you feel good in the moment, but it doesn't solve anything.
Well, and unfortunately, the left is also very good at taking those emotionally charged right moments or the far right moments or whatever it is, and utilizing that to put a big umbrella over everything, over the common sense, over these things, and sit there and go, look at how crazy emotional and wacky these people are. And we need to just stop it and quit hitching the trailer onto anyone who is loud and has a big following just because they say I'm conservative or I'm a Republican or I'm MAGA.
Or they say something that sounds like it might be, and we're going to jump on that, like with Hollywood celebrities and things like that, who for maybe one comment sounds sort of, and then, no, not really.
Sort of
not
normie.
Not really.
Sort of normie.
Sort of normie. Sort of normie. Sort of normie. So, yeah. So anyway, I appreciate it. I'm glad that Todd's got this book out. It's going to be a great read. And again, I'm really geeking out that Art Deco is making a comeback. That is so cool. It is so beautiful. My little Madeline lamp. We'll love it. All right, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All right, welcome back, everybody. So yeah, you and I, we have this, our little group chat where we pop things in over the weekend. It's like, oh, we got to save that to talk about. You put in something, and I didn't know this was a thing, but this is something that is like the top of my Christmas list. Taser gloves.
Whoa.
Want. That's,
well, I just sit here and go, how, you know, I understand if these things probably don't make it to the average retail market.
I
can understand not wanting people, random people wandering around with a glove that is also a taser.
Yeah.
But I'm sitting here going, how nice would this be to buy that for my wife and my daughters and, you know, everyone else. You know, it's wintertime coming up. We might have a cold snap, being able to keep your hands warm and be able to protect yourself.
Right? Mm-hmm. That tap on the shoulder takes on a whole different meaning now. It just drops you. But I had not heard of that. But again, I saw a video and it was like, it just dropped the guy.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess it has uses for immigration enforcement and things like that. It was like, whoa.
Yeah. They're talking about equipping ICE with these taser gloves, which, of course, gets a whole lot of people angry. And one of the responses I saw that kind of made me scratch my head was, you know, you're giving ICE this, but yet you can't protect our kids in schools. And I go, number one, it's not the federal government's job to protect your kids in schools. And if Trump signed an executive order today that said there's an SRO required in every school, imagine this kicking and screaming about putting the Gestapo into the schools.
That just doesn't make any sense. It's not rational.
Yeah, you got to look and go, okay, let's see. Who would be in charge of putting SROs in our schools? Oh, our school district? Oh, our city? Our local governments? You know, maybe if you stretch it, you can reach to the governor. But it's definitely not a federal issue. And I would love more protection in schools. But, you know, again, I have to focus that aggression where it belongs, not at the, you know, the federal level in ICE or anything else.
Yeah, these are local decisions, which are why local elections really, really matter. Yeah, it's like, do you just purposely not see this, people? Or are you not connecting the dots because you won't or because you can't, or Orange Man bad? I don't know. I mean, that's how Kotek is running her campaign. She's running against Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she is not running a local campaign, let's put it that way. The only local aspect of anything she has put out so far is I protect Oregonians from Donald Trump. That's as close as it gets.
Okay, stop helping. You're not helping, first of all, and stop. All right. Switching to books, I found this really great this book list. I've read a lot of these books because one of the things we were talking with Todd in the first segment, what can people do aside from reading great books like The Golden Age, Todd's book? There are some great books that have been around forever. One, a really quick read, you want to read it, Friedrich Bastiat, The Law. It's thin. It'll take you like an afternoon to read it. But it's he exposes the inherent dangers of using law as a tool for plunder and coercion, urging readers to champion the principles of justice, freedom, and the rule of law. The 5,000-Year Leak, one of the most life-changing books I've read, discover the 28 principles of freedom our founding fathers said must be understood and perpetuated by every people who desire peace, prosperity, and freedom. You brought up your question with Todd was education. Mm-hmm. Guarantee you these books are not being taught in public schools. Oh. They're not reading Common Sense. They're not reading the 5,000-Year Leap. They're not reading the Federalist Papers.
I could almost figure that some of these works have been intentionally banned from school libraries. I would, there are definitely some school districts out there where I can see them not having even access to these for their student body.
Yeah. I don't remember reading. I didn't even find the 5,000. It came out in 1981, the year I graduated high school. The Law. No, not, even something reading the Communist Manifesto, knowing what the principles of communism and the critiques that these people, the DSA and the people that are out there know what you're talking about. I mean, I guess you could read Mein Kampf if you want, read the Anti-Federalist Papers, the Jefferson Lies, the Jefferson Bible, Democracy in America, Alexis de Tocqueville. I mean, there's so many things that if you just dug into sort of the classics to bolster, I know, is it, Hillsdale College offers free courses. I started taking one. I've got another one queued up, and those are free. And they're lectures. They're college lectures that you can sit in your comfy chair with a coffee or a glass of wine and educate yourself. Because even if we did learn it in school, I'm far enough away from that. A little reinforcement and refreshing of the memory is always a good thing.
Well, like Todd Starr said earlier in the show, one of the things he's hoping that comes out of reading his book is parents and grandparents will start working to educate their children and their grandchildren. And I'm not talking just young ones. I'm talking adult grandchildren. Help them out. Let them realize what it is, the world they're living in, and the positives and negatives that come from it.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of that doesn't happen. Far too many people, I think, outsource all of this to the public schools. And then all of a sudden, and especially when you get the kid and the kids can't read and they can't write and they really don't know virtual anything, but they can sure chant slogans. Mm-hmm. Yes, they can. Oh. And speaking of that, I think we talked about this last week, the teacher, the high school teacher who was in tears online talking about how he's got high school seniors who can't complete sentences. So there's a lot of work to do. And I agree with Todd too. And even president running on this to get rid of the NEA, at the federal level, just make it go away. I thought that was kind of a top priority, but it's still there.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing is your education, your students' education is a local issue. It needs to start at the bottom and work its way up. And the whole concept of having this massive oversight over, education, it's going to lean to whichever party is currently holding the reins. And I don't want that. I want facts, writing, reading. Let's make things back to the way they should be, where a kid can get an education and understand how to think for themselves.
Yeah, and encourage a lifelong curiosity in wanting to learn more and to be a lifelong learner. And it's not the NEA, that's the union, it's the Department of Education.
Yeah.
And being curious. Another one I would suggest too, and I read it, it's been a while, is reading Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. It lays out exactly how the left operates. It is their Bible on how to do it. His techniques and teachings have influenced Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama. He dedicated the book to Satan.
Huh, interesting. Well, I don't know. That might be a frightening read because you realize what all is happening around you that you just kind of shove off is maybe it's pop culture, maybe it's just day-to-day life. And when you realize that this isn't mistakes, this is intentional.
I saw somebody out on X, an Oregonian guy, saying Oregon is the way it is because of Democrat ineptness. And it's like, no, they're not inept. they're not, it's not an oops. It's not a, they don't know what they're doing. It's not that they're uneducated. They know exactly what they're doing. I would have to say, and you look at Barack Obama, his presidency was really pretty darn successful, wouldn't you say? I'd say he did a lot of fundamental changing of the United States. Mm-hmm. It's not what we think is successful, but coming from where their goals are and their agenda, they're wildly successful.
Well, I've said it time and time again, when you're, you know, 18 to 25, 30 in that range, you look at it and you go, you expect the best and the brightest, and everyone is out for the best they can do for this country or this community or this state, whatever it is, until you get to a point where you recognize that no one is that inept.
Correct.
Eventually, if you keep throwing, you know, inept at things, eventually something's got to change and people are going to go, wait, we need something different because this person doesn't know what the heck they're doing. But yet we double down on those people.
Yes. And it's a fundamental misunderstanding of where the left, the progressive, the communist, the DSA is coming from. They very clearly, the mask is off. They very clearly hate the Constitution. They hate everything about it. They hate everything about our way of life. And I think Todd mentioned, too, where, you know, the family is always, the family is the foundation of that. And the attacks against the nuclear family have been going on for generations. And it started out, and you can see looking back over your shoulder 30 years of chipping away and degrading the nuclear family. And it hasn't done well for society at all. So it is not incompetence. It's not ineptness. It is agenda driven. It is true belief in this. It is the antithesis of what normal Americans believe in and why we love the country, why we love the founders, why we love our founding documents. These people are the enemy, frankly, because they're trying to destroy all that.
Well, and you can break it down to the most simplest of things. If there is a problem we expect that government is going to solve, we expect government to solve it. But you look at the drug problem, the homeless problem, whatever issue it is that government is going to solve for us, they just make you live with it because that's where the money flows, that's where the power flows, and the statistics get worse and worse daily as they just double down on, we'll make it better. And they also get the talking points every political cycle. We're going to help the homeless. We're going to help the drug addicts. No, you're not. You're utilizing them. You're utilizing them, you're encouraging them, and you are creating a situation that gives you a talking point and unlimited tax dollars to keep you rolling along.
Exactly. And I don't want to hear from any politician that they're going to go into government to help me out by using the levers of government to do that. No, that's not your job. No, it's there to ensure that I have my rights, and anything else on that, don't do it. And you look at anything, any industry, anything that the government has gotten involved in, it's gotten worse. Quality has gotten worse, and it's gotten more expensive, because you look at just sort of consumer, they're not involved in cell phones, and those have gotten smaller and better. They're not involved in televisions, and those, I just got a 50 something inch TV for $238.
Those are getting bigger and better.
They're getting bigger and they're getting better and they're cheaper. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like, no government, thank you. You know, I'm here to help. Well, stop helping. I don't want you helping me.
Well, after the government grocery stores will become the government electronic stores. Come on.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, I just can't even. Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and take a break. I need to. Ajita, you're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Cozy's New York Deli.
All righty. Welcome back, everybody. Yeah. So one of the things that we were chatting with Todd in the first part of the show is grandmas and grandpas and moms and dads and everybody getting back around, you know, the family dinner table and talking and educating and doing like that. And I would also add, getting to know your neighbors is a good thing. I'm not so great at that. It's like, yeah, but the mustache man, he spent the whole weekend when we were having like a big neighborhood barbecue. And so you get to know your neighbors that way. And it's just to have that support system and know who your neighbors are is a good thing. And I came across this list. John Hawkins, who does Culturecidal, great guy. I'm actually friends with him on Facebook. He's a really great guy. Very insightful. This is 40 rules for living around other humans. Some of these rules, it's like, all y'all have forgotten this. It's like basic niceties and basic just being a decent human being.
Oh, yeah. Some of these I'm just going, yeah, that should happen every time. That should happen. I'm just going, but yet it's like common sense. It's not that common anymore.
It isn't. And like, you know, customer service, not so customer-y servicey. You're just in this social discourse has gotten very, very coarse. So the first one, of course, is the opinions of people online who aren't your friends or someone you respect don't really matter that much. They certainly should never be allowed to impact your mood negatively. I mean, how many people you'll have a bad day because somebody commented and said something kind of dopey online? People have cut off family members because of what they post online.
Well, it's the reason I don't post a whole lot online, because I'm sitting there going, I don't want to get involved, because the moment you post something, some negative Nancy is going to attack you for it, no matter what it seems to be nowadays. I have this great recipe. No, your recipe is garbage compared to mine. You know, don't need it.
The Babylon Bee posted a picture of an everything, one of the bagels with everything on it. A non-political, let's not get mad, totally neutral post. I didn't look under the comments, but it was like, are we going to argue about a bagel?
Yes, we
probably
will. Yeah. You know, this one, I sit there and go, this one needs to have number two. If you genuinely screwed up, apologize, unless of course you're dealing with the online mob. You never apologize to the mob, but I'm going, that's the big thing. And COVID is the greatest example. We know, but yet you will never get those simple apologies from those loved ones.
No. And then the mob isn't looking for your apology, because I learned that lesson the hard way, and they don't care about that. Your apology doesn't matter. If you are under 30 and not a stone cold expert in something I'm asking you about, I don't need your advice. That one, how many people have you met? I mean, that just the unsolicited advice on everything based on a kernel of an opinion, and all of a sudden I'm this super expert on it? No.
Well, only until it goes so far. And then if you question anything, it's, well, are you a doctor? You can't know anything if you're not a doctor.
Are you a biologist? I'm not a biologist. Yep. I can't say what a woman is.
And this one, you know, it's put the shopping cart back, rack the weights when you're done, and pick up after your dog.
This should be common sense.
Mm-hmm. These are just basic things. Leave it as you found it, you know.
the putting the shopping cart back. Mm-hmm. I do that. That speaks a lot about someone, because it's something that it's a small civil courtesy where no one's watching, and do you do it or do you not?
But you don't even need to put it back now. Every big shopping center has cart spots throughout there where it's usually only a spot or two away from where you're parked. And people still leave it in the middle of everything.
And if I'm feeling particularly lazy, I'll try to park close to it so that I just need to run it in there. Okay, I think you're up. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Doing or saying something dumb in response to something dumb does not make you smart.
Yeah.
So
if you're out there on X, you know exactly what that one is. And this one, of course, everybody, this is sort of common knowledge. It's easier to ask forgiveness than it is to get permission. Just do it. Mm-hmm. You can beg for forgiveness later. Oopsie-doopsie.
All right. The merit of an idea and the charisma of the people pushing it are often completely unrelated concepts. That's what we were just talking about earlier in the show.
Yeah.
The loudest and the emotionally driven seem to be the ones getting the most followers, where a logic-based thing doesn't seem to get much care.
Yeah, exactly. Human beings tend to do a lot of harmful short-term things to feel good right now, like being emotional about everything, release pressure right now and take care of a problem right now, rather than deal with the underlying issue, which would take much longer, that instant gratification. I mean, I think we're all guilty of that. I'm certainly guilty of a knee-jerk reaction on things, and I've made some poor decisions based on that instead of taking a breath, praying about it, number one, and just kind of like dig a little deeper into the issue before you go off. Especially if, you know, the internet is forever. So don't like post that video where you're ranting about something if you're not 100% sure.
Yep. And of course, there's no need to take revenge on mediocre people. Their mediocrity is their own punishment.
Yes.
Words to live by.
Yes. There's more to this list. We'll do. I know we're kind of, I did want to, and I want to thank Mike for this heads up. I did know about this. There was a death this morning that came through that was actually really very sad. 36 years old, Hayden Panettiere, child actress. I mean, basically she'd been in the business since she was 11 months old. Beautiful girl, she just she's suffering from a lot of postpartum. I guess she was on a podcast recently where she was kind of laying her soul bare. She has a memoir out at 36, but okay, about substance abuse issues, postpartum depression. There's a lot of commentary out there. I wanted to make sure we did mention that. 36 years old is way too young, and I understand her brother died prior to her, so her parents have lost both their kids. I mean, it's just really, really incredibly sad.
Yeah, we never like to hear about these that kind of a death, and they haven't released any autopsy. So, you know, she was a private person outside of her public persona, so we don't really know what led to this, and hopefully, you know, she there wasn't anything nefarious about it, because there was some allegations about you know, that she mentioned, I believe, on this podcast. Against some powerful people, so
which we weren't naming any names. And again, I'm sorry for the abrupt shift there, but I did want to make sure we mentioned that. They were saying it was she was unresponsive from cardiac arrest in an apparent overdose. That I think the 911 calls are out. It's always just so sad. Hollywood is just such a dark mm-hmm. place. It really is, and it's so sad when you hear 36. She would have been 37 very shortly, and it's a shame. It's awful.
Yeah, that's never anything you want to hear. And yeah, we all kind of sit there and go, my child would be an amazing child actor. But when you actually dig into what life is like for these people, you realize that maybe it's not something you're really interested in torturing your child with.
I had a brush with that early on when my son was little. We were trying to do a little bit of modeling because he was just so cute. And we had a gig up in Portland, and he was maybe two. It was for some company. And they treated us awfully. It was such a negative experience that I'm like, we are never doing this. I thank God every day that it was such a negative experience and we never did it again. Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking, oh, you could make some money for this and money for that, but it's such a warped business. And again, anything with the arts, your product you're putting out there is you. And so when people don't like it, how can you not take it personally? It's crazy. So, I mean, she's the latest. There have been others. 2026 hasn't been a great year for losing a lot of people, sadly.
No, I know that I believe Tommy John, the former Major League Baseball pitcher, passed away. He was 83 years old. But he is world famous because the ligament replacement surgery that a lot of professional athletes will go through now was named after him. So he was kind of the experimental guinea pig. So it's Tommy John surgery that a lot of pitchers go through. Yep.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. So he's left his legacy. Granted, I don't know if I'd want a surgery named after me, but it is.
Well, if it's helped a lot of people, that's actually kind of cool. Yeah. But see, he's 83. Yeah. And Hayden Panettiere was
36. You know,
36 and leaves behind a young daughter as well. And of course, it's brought up a lot of conversation about postpartum depression and depression. And there's a lot of hot takes out there. I'm not going to get into that at all. No. Some people are being kind of jerks about it online, and they're getting a little bit of pushback. But again, we wanted to make sure that we did mention that. And it's just so incredibly sad, and prayers to her parents, because to lose two kids like that is just devastating.
Yeah. And of course, you know, we, no matter what, it's you're human, and we don't want to see these things happen. And the situation, unfortunately for her, is, you know, like you said, young child, parents, brother. Yeah. So it's a sad situation, and our prayers are with the family.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll get back into this list tomorrow again. So thanks for hanging out with us again. Todd's book is available now everywhere books are sold. The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America and the Future of MAGA. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.